Ours to Protect, a climate and environmental programme on WLR with Clodagh Walsh.
0833 33 97 5. As you know, over the last while, we have been broadcasting a unique and exciting audio project. A collaboration of local and national and regional broadcasters across the country came together along with WLR to champion climate action, inform and educate audiences all over Ireland on how they can make a difference. And the programme has been running from June of last year to June of this year. 5 to 7 minutes reports went out every week. And the person behind those reports, who sourced the material and managed to put everything together, was none other than Clodagh Walsh, who's here with me in studio.
Hi, Damien. How are you?
Hi, Clodagh. How's it going?
Good, good. I can't believe it's a year. There were times in the middle where I was flagging a little bit, but it's gone quite quickly. I met incredible people. Yeah, people doing wonderful things, like, say, big organisations. When I say big, you know, like GIY or the Schlee Initiative, but also schools doing fantastic stuff. The City and County Council, I know you'll hear from them in a moment, but they had the first ever climate conference for schools, and they brought TYs from, you know, from Wexford, from the Blackwater Valley, from Tremor together, and they got a chance to, you know, to work, to listen, to learn. They also got a chance to speak to the mayor, and he spoke to them also about democracy. It was really interesting and how important it is, you know, for them to vote, for their voices to be heard. We did quite a lot with, I suppose we did a lot with young people, but then there was also initiatives like Greening Waterford, One Tree at a Time. They're doing fantastic work as well. There was a group in a Dungarvan housing estate. It was coming up to Halloween. A woman said, "I have a Halloween costume for a child. There must be lots of people around the estate with Halloween costumes. Contact the libraries." I love the libraries. They're brilliant. Got space in the library, brought all the costumes into the library, sold them each for €1, which went back into the Residents Association, so that they continued doing things. Then they went to the beach at Abbeyside, and they've set up, there's free buckets and shovels there if people come to the beach with kids, so you're not buying plastics. Yeah. Like, there was a huge array of things going on.
And in studio with me as well, we've Keane Gill, Climate Action Officer, Waterford City and County Council. I'll talk to Keane in a second. Welcome back, Keane. And then we have Patrick Kerwin, teacher at Ardscull Namara Secondary School in Tremor. Welcome back, Patrick. Just before we do that, Clodagh, you've been broadcasting a number of decades, a bit like myself.
Yes.
national and local and different stories over the years. When you started this, did you think, like, you're not a big environmentalist,
no,
but you're somebody who has a thirst for knowledge. I know you over the years. And the way you approached this, it seemed like you were on a kind of a journey yourself.
Well, it's interesting, I suppose, because I think I was asking the questions. I would like to think I was asking the questions that the listener would ask, because in fairness, I didn't know an awful lot. I would try to be good, particularly in terms of food waste. That would be a huge thing for me, or even try to be ethical about what you're buying in terms of fashion. But really, really, that was about it. So I learned a lot along the way. I would like to think some of my habits have changed. But the thing that struck me as well is the people that I met were just so enthusiastic, so passionate. They wanted to pass on their knowledge and they wanted people to know. And I think that's really, really important, because that's infectious, you know, and that's what creates a movement. So you have lots of little things going on, but it's about drawing them together so we're all moving forward together.
Yeah, and as I said, like, I know you'd be environmentally conscious, a bit like myself, but you or me wouldn't be mad into it, like, from the very start, saying we're sort of despotic about this, you know? We'd be very careful. And you came at it as a journalist to find out the information. And you could see it in the reports. There was a lovely energy.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that. But that's down to the people I met, two of whom I happened to be sitting in the studio. But no, it is down to the people I met. And particularly, I do want to mention the Schlee Initiative in Waterford. They've been going for about 20 years, and they want to foster a sustainable and ethically conscious community. they are doing incredible work, not alone with young people, but they're going into book clubs and libraries. They have a huge resource online if you want to know, actually, if you want to know about anything about fair trade, about how you monitor your water. And one of the last ones I did with them as we went down the River Shore, it was called Slea Sails. And they brought together the Irish fisheries, you know, Irish, not Irish water, Irish fisheries. They brought together communities that live along the river. They brought together Friends of St. John's. They brought together some scientists. We all set sail down to the Barrow Bridge. But what they were doing was bringing these people together. So hopefully these people will stay together and work together. So they're not working piecemeal and on their own. So again, it's about that movement, really.
Yeah. Keane, from the council perspective, there's so much to talk about, but that idea of going on the journey and that idea of some people come to environmental awareness and different levels of environmental action at different stages in their lives. So what we try to do with the programme here, and I think Clodagh genuinely did it, was to educate and to entertain. So it wasn't a preachy type of thing. It was a genuine attempt at understanding how people deal with matters as they arise. Is that a fair enough assessment?
Yes, absolutely. And I suppose in terms of what we've been doing over the last year with our the Waterford Climate Action Plan, which has been what myself and my team, our team, have been working on behalf of the council and behalf of the county. A lot of that was, we're in the early days of having the plan out now. It's out about a couple of months, as you probably know. And the last year has been the preliminary push to get this over the line. A lot of that has been talking to people, exactly what you're talking about. You know, folks, some folks who would classify themselves as, I'm an environmentalist, but a lot of people who say, maybe I'm not, but would still have an interest. And those are the folks whose voices are really important in all of this. And so for that reason, you know, we tried to cast as wide a net as we could with, you know, our public consultation to find out what people thought about what was in the Climate Action Plan beforehand. That's why we did the Students' Climate Conference as well last year. And we have more plans for that again this year. So we might get a word in about that towards the end.
Yeah, very much so. And just on that aspect of the debate, Patrick, to close it off, I've interviewed you before about young people and climate, and obviously in terms of your teaching aspect of things. What did you think of the last 12 months and the reports?
Well, do you know, just listening to Clodagh, what I just say here is that, like, I can't help but feeling hope. You know, because as Greta Thunberg says, don't look for hope, look for action. Because when you see action, hope is everywhere. And I think Clodagh is right, we need movements. Unfortunately, though, the problem is that we still haven't moved very far. There are amazing champions out there and they're doing loads of really good work, but we need more of us. And like, I suppose, you know, some thinking about the last year, the epitome for me is, and why I know we have to actually haven't moved hardly at all, is that I got a leaflet from a local councillor in my door the other day with the...
And you don't have to mention any names?
No, of course. With the top tickets, you know, their top priorities, and climate isn't mentioned, nature isn't mentioned, and that's like, I'm just like, that's just crazy, like, for where we are right now. And just, I just want you to read something just to put this in context. So recently 380 top climate scientists, the experts, were surveyed, and they believe that we will get to 2.4, nearly 80% of them believe that we'll be at 2.4 degrees of warming in 80 years. That's double what we have right now. And one of them said, it's the biggest threat humanity has faced, with the potential to wreck our social fabric and way of life. It has the potential to kill millions, if not billions, through starvation, war over resources, displacements. And that's from James Renwick from the University of Wellington, New Zealand. And I think it's really interesting because I read this out, but actually, who connects with that? That's really hard to connect with that. And we are just not meeting like for like at the moment. For the, we're not basically putting the resources into the, to face the emergency that we is
that
is an
there.
Existential crisis. Yeah,
I saw you nodding, Keane.
Yes, I'm aware of that quote as well. And so increasingly, you know, important warnings have been put out by top scientists over the last couple of years. There's any number of records broken that we could mention that have been coming out recently. So the folks who are paying attention are aware of this. And sometimes it does feel like Whereas the urgency, I suppose, might be one element of this.
And then one of the things the council has done, and in my opinion done very well, is to take those figures and the national and international figures, and instead of despairing, because we have to have action. So give me some of the examples and things that you've been doing.
So I have a list here of stuff that we've been up to over the last few months, over the last year. And so not very long ago, I was here talking with yourself about active travel. So obviously this is promoting the use within the county, the use of ability to walk, ability to cycle more effectively. And you'll be aware that there are three new major cycling routes being developed for the city: on the Cork Road, on the Inner Ring Road, and from Tramore out to Waterford City as well. So all of that stuff is on the go. My team works very closely with the active travel team. As you're probably aware, they've just finished up on a permeability scheme out in Tournor Park as well, and we're working on data collection for that to see the difference in usage. So you need numbers, you need stats, you need to show that these things are popular, that they're being used, and so that sort of thing is very important for getting more of these projects off the ground, I suppose. We're working on our electric vehicles. Of course, our fleet is being upgraded and updated within the council as well. We've had three new EV vans, electric vans, come in the last little while. We have three currently out and about, highly visible in the city, branded as well. We have also some of our rough terrain vehicles, our cleaning vehicles for around the city. Some of those new electric ones are coming in as well. And of course, I think listeners will be very aware of the big changes happening with the EV chargers all around the place. Those are very obvious now. There's at least four different companies operating that now, and there's a strategy being written with basically our role to be, we've been advising so far, and we're going to be overseers as soon as this whole thing is in place. We're also working on building upgrades, of course, within the council as well. So in partnership with groups like the SAAI, the Southeast Energy Agency, in the last couple of years have delivered over 30 energy efficient building improvements on public buildings.
I'll come back to more of those details in a minute. Clodagh, when you went on this journey, did you see a connection or an increasing collaboration between state bodies and groups that you would have featured?
Well, that word that you use there, connection, and that's the word that Patrick used as well. When I think it was Elaine Mullen from SETU, who's also an environmentalist, she came in to talk to us at the beginning to kind of set out the stall of where we were. And then halfway through, she came in and we weren't really doing very well. Actually, we weren't doing well at all globally. But it was connection. And you were talking about, you know, war and famine and heat, and people don't see it, or people don't feel it because it's not happening. But the one thing that they did start to pick up on was when they were all on their summer holidays last year, and suddenly it was, you know, I don't know, 50 degrees in Greece or 48 degrees in Calabria, and suddenly there was a connection. So I don't know how you work on that, but I don't know how you work on getting that connection to a bigger picture. But I did, there was, for example, something like the solar panels, you could see that they're proved hugely popular. You could see a connection there, and you could see agencies, you know, feeding down to the man on the street, if you like. But in other areas, you couldn't. I think there's still a gap. I heard a minister, and Minister Ryan isn't here to defend himself, but I did hear him speaking the other day, and the interviewer, I can't remember who it was, kept questioning him about what was being done. And the minister kept saying, yes, we're doing a lot. There just doesn't seem to be that connection coming down.
Patrick?
Well, I think the thing is that the communication on this has been really, really bad. And what's really interesting is, Justin, and I'm not a defender of Eamon Ryan, but what I would say is that the Green Party have, like, grant retrofitting, Climate Nature Fund, greenways, rural bus service, two new national parks. Now, there's issues with stuff.
Well, that would be the government, not just the Green
government,
Party.
Yes.
The government, okay?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But being led by the Green Party, Damien. Yes.
Well,
really?
No. Fine Gael now would say, again, I'm not going to get into a big political debate about this, but the Climate Action Bill and the Act was adopted by the government parties.
Well, it's passed by the government.
Yeah, the government parties. So Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are the two main parties of that. Go ahead anyway.
But I suppose the point I want to make is that when I look on social media, and look, I'm not some politico here. I know very little about politics, But I hear people holding the Green Party to account. And I'm like, this is not a political football. This should be actually on the agenda of every single politician, if they're worth their salt at all. And I think in terms of the communication piece, I read an article, three articles in the Irish Times at the end of April. And I thought, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, here we are. So there is one article which is talking about people on the coast losing their houses, who've lost their houses and who will lose their houses because of coast erosion. Second article is about people in Roscommon who are basically, their houses have been flooded out and they've had to leave their communities. Neither article mentioned climate breakdown. Didn't mention, obviously, the root causes of that, you know, fossil fuels and new licensing and all that kind of stuff. And the last article was an article about people up in arms in Connemara about the scale of a wind farm project. And again, that didn't mention climate breakdown. It didn't mention what's happening to other people around Ireland, not to mention around the rest of the world. And this is where the communication piece is really, really, really poor.
And again, other political parties would say they've adopted massive climate action, I suppose, proposals.
But it's linking the dots. That's
yeah.
what
No,
Patrick
I understand.
Is
yeah, I understand you know. Exactly what you're saying. So have you learned, Cian, from a council perspective, have you learned stuff in the last year from what Claude has done?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it showed the variety of different kinds of folks who are interested. The different kind, like Patrick says, you look for action first, or as Greta Thunberg says, you look for action first, and that's where your hope comes from. And so, being able to see such a wide variety of public groups of communities coming together doing stuff like this, and of course our team working through the Community Climate Action Programme as well would be well aware of a lot of these really positive things being done. And if I might quote something. And that came out recently. I'm sure some of you will be aware of this, but there's a report called Climate Change in the Irish Mind. Now, this is a report about how Irish people feel about climate change. And some of these numbers might be surprising to those of us who do pay attention to these articles, which are sometimes very negative, which is that a majority of Irish people, 81%, say they're worried about climate change, and a very impressive 89% say that it is important to them personally. So it's absolutely, we know the interest and the care and the is there, but bridging that gap, and I think also a lot of things that were theoretical in the past are now becoming real. Now that real action is happening, and this is the point to go hard on the accelerator, so to speak, and not be scared off by it. Yet there will be difficulties. Everything is not perfect and shiny.
I just want to say what's really interesting. There's an EPA report that came out as well and said that, and which I'm delighted to hear this, but I think it doesn't represent everybody. But 8 out of 10 people see that climate action will improve our quality of life. Hooray! That's brilliant, and this is so exciting. And I want to read this to you. It's a quote from a student in school, and this is all so positive. You know, it's just wonderful stuff. So she said, I'm truly committed to teaching people about the environment and explaining everything to them. I especially think teaching current students is extremely important, as they're more likely to listen and they can affect change. Older people are more difficult to talk to at all about this topic because they think of cost before they think of solutions and the future of the planet. Reaching out to first, second and third years and getting them involved with making changes could actually lead to something. Older people often think, well, I've lived my life, brackets, she says, I've genuinely heard this, or that it's too late to do something. Both are excuses. People aren't bothered or simply don't want to change their behaviour regardless of how they know it will end. That's why I'm so committed to promoting this programme and pushing for students to be as involved as possible with it and educating them, not just on what is going on, but also all the things that we need to protect. And I just thought that's really poignant.
It is, and also, again, come back to the point of that it's positive, that it can affect change. Because you're right. Sometimes I often feel that we're being told, "Well, you can't do this, you can't do that, mind that." You know, instead of saying, "This is what it will lead to if you do this, whatever the small action is that you take." I think it's just about sharing knowledge, but it's just about. Just changing the mindset, just moving it a little bit. And it's not actually, you don't have to move it a huge amount. It's just about moving that mindset.
One of the things I think, you know, that we need to do is we don't value nature. and we need to embrace nature, because it's just amazing for mental health. And I see it in school, kids who are suffering from anxiety and mental health issues across the board. And I was just, and we talked about partnerships there this morning. So I was out at Kildalton College this morning meeting Grainne McMahon, because, which is really interesting. She was showing me around the campus, and it was just, I tell you, good for the soul. It would make you feel good. And Grainne said, do you know how many students she had graduating this year from a horticulture course? How many would you say?
100? I don't know.
Seven. And that's just, it's really interesting, because that is the epitome of actually how we're so disconnected from nature. We're not teaching this in schools, and this is something we're trying to change in Ortiscal Namara. And I just think, and I was telling Grainne this morning that when I started this journey in London, there's one of my students, Kamal, who basically he helped me with a group of other lads to take out some ornamental vegetation and turning it into a working space in school. And he went off to do an economics degree in Imperial College, a prestigious university in London. And a colleague of mine met him in London, and she said, Kamal, so how did you get on? He got a really good degree. And she said, what are you doing? And he said, well, do you know what? I went back to horticulture. He was like, I actually just loved my time in the garden in school, and I thought, this is what I want to do. And he wouldn't have had that experience unless we actually provided that for him. And we're not helping students to connect with nature across the board in a meaningful way, and we need to.
And I know the work that you're doing out in Ortiscal Namara, and I know that was one of the first pieces I did, and I have to say I was really blown away by it. But by the students, and the day I was there, they were teaching teachers that had come from different parts of the country to learn. But the point about that is it's people like yourself and other people around the country who are doing it. There's nothing, is there, within the Department of Education that's driving this or moving this forward? There isn't really.
No, and what's interesting is that, you know, they are sending out strong signals that actually we need to prioritise education for sustainable development. But that's one statement of 72 for principals to deal with. And it's in a context where there's lots of competing priorities. It's low on the list of priorities and there's no resources. And this is where, you know, Sanofi has basically adopted our school and actually financed the Environmental Leadership Development Programme, which is just a kind of disgrace in one way, that all this wonderful stuff wouldn't be happening without them. And that allows us not only to kit out our wonderful outdoor classroom, which the principal had foresight to actually put money into in a meaningful way to build a proper structure, but also to employ people to facilitate that learning out there.
We've only got 3 minutes left. Keane, from your perspective, people can go onto the Dub Waterford Council website. What message would you like to give out this morning?
So, apart, I would bear in mind those numbers that we gave earlier, that, like, if you think you're on your own about this, caring about this and knowing that it's important, you're not. Okay, so those numbers, 81% people think climate change is a worry to them, 89% say it's important to them. You know, things are only impossible until they're done, as the old quote goes. And so we got last year up to 42% of electricity within the country from renewables. These things can be done. Changes are happening. Look for the positive and be aware that the direction that we're going in is a positive one.
Patrick, your 30 seconds.
I noticed with 30 seconds time, he's like, shut up, Patrick, stop talking, I'm joking. Look, I think use your vote on Friday. When you go to that voting booth, think of your children. Don't just think of yourselves. And actually vote for a party or parties that have, you know, or councillors that have this front and centre.
Rhoda, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I would just like to say a huge thank you to everybody who spoke to me, who took the time to speak to me, to share their knowledge. It was fantastic and they were really wonderful. I also just want to mention one other thing. In GIY, they have something called a bioregional weaving lab, and we spoke to Sarah Posser about this, and it's about collectively building new ways of working and implementing native based solutions and social innovations. And I think that's something people should keep in their minds.
And also the online record, we have those via our website.
We do. We now have a climate section on our website. So we've obviously all the pieces I did, but you did a couple of documentaries on climate change. I think Aveen did something as well. So that's there. So that will keep being added to, so people can go back and listen to them.
Yes, WLRFM.com. Patrick, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, really appreciate it.
Not at all. Keane, thank you very, very much.
Great to be here.
Best of luck to both of you. Clodagh, well done. Genuinely well done.
Oh, thanks very much,
thank
Jamie.
You very
I
much.
Appreciate it.
Fair play to
thank you.
Thank you very much. 083-333-975.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by WLR, the IBI, and funded by Cumasun na mBan with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie and WLRFM.com for more info. WLR.